Morning. Glad to see everybody out, and we welcome our visitors back every opportunity they have as we study God's Word. It's read in Luke 18, chapter, verses 1 through 8, and there was a parable given by Christ. But the key verse that we want to study this morning is verse 8. It tells you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on earth? The question this morning is, do you trust God or do you just believe in him? There's a difference. We may have those who claim to believe in God but don't do God's will. Then there are those who trust in God and are obedient to God's will. Everything that he said within the scriptures, he put our trust in him as we ought. And that's something that we need to question ourselves today. And a lot of us don't like to question ourselves and examine ourselves and find out how we truly stand before God. The Lord's question requires us to look at something. It makes us uncomfortable. We need to be praying with conviction. Do we understand when we pray to God, as we have this morning? Do we truly put our trust in God that these things will be fulfilled as it should be? Those who we are praying for that are sick, do we actually believe that they will maybe return back to their health? Or we just say the prayer and, well, hopefully they'll get well and be back with us. Maybe. There's a difference. We believe in God. But sometimes we just don't have enough trust in God as we should. Christians live on a front line of a spiritual warfare. If you turn over to Ephesians 6 chapter, and verses 11 and 12, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual weaknesses in high places. There are things that we'll be facing in our everyday life as a Christian, and we need to be prepared ourselves. And God said to put on the whole armor of God that we can stand up to those things. Do we actually trust God that he'll be there for us? That we put on the whole armor as we should, we will be protected? Or will we just go, I know what I need to do, but there's one thing I just don't like to do within that whole armor of God, we'll see what happens. And that's something that we'll have to face. We're warned to stay vigilant against our adversary. 1 Peter, 5th chapter, verses 8 and 9. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in this world. We believe that? Do we trust God that he can help us overcome our problems, our temptations in our daily lives? That there are other members of the body of Christ that may be facing the same type of temptation. And that we can work together and encourage one another as we ought, in accordance to God's word, and face up to those things. And there are things that we need to understand that God is increasingly banished from the public life today. Oh yeah, I believe in God. Well, are you willing to do his will? Well, there are a few things I just like to do. And I know if I become a Christian, I have to give them up. And I don't want to. I want to enjoy what life there is upon this planet that we are on at this point. Religious people are increasingly hesitant to express their faith. Are you willing to stand up and say, I believe in God, I trust God? Or do we just keep silent? Don't let them know I'm a Christian. Don't want to cause any difficulty between the family or whatever, or friends. So I keep silent. I don't say a word. I don't stand up. If somebody is cussing and swearing all the time around you at work, do you ask them to put a stop to it? If they're gossiping, do you tell them, I don't want to hear it? I'm not that type of individual. I'm a Christian. I don't involve in gossiping. Where you just stand there and don't say a word to them. I worked down at Monday and a couple of times I asked Ben down there, please, don't do it. Not around me. And they try. They mess up once in a while, and I'll look at them and go, okay. One strike against you. So, but you ask them, please, don't speak that way around where we're at this point. And they apologize, knowing that sincere within our faith. The adversary has filled churches with people that have no faith. In 2 Timothy, the third chapter, beginning with verse 1. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despiser of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, pleasures, lover of pleasures more than lover of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power that thereof, from such turn away. We have members within the body of Christ say, oh, yeah, I'm here this morning, so I do believe in God. But when we come to it, are we high-minded? Are we boastful of ourselves as we shouldn't be? We truth breakers, we false accusers. Do we support some of the things that goes on within our country nowadays? Well, the gays or the homosexuals, they're good people. Did you say anything about it? Did you try to tell them what God's word has to say about their activities? Would we just stand back and go, well, I'm good friends with them. I can ignore what they do. And besides, I think God will let them in into heaven. They're good people. We need to question ourselves about these. One thing, not everything called faith is faith. Anyone can speak highly of Jesus but have little or no faith. John, the third chapter, verses 1 and 2, talks about Nicodemus. There's a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Why he come to him at night? He believes God, but does he trust him? Did he realize what he needed to be doing and let others know that he put his faith in God and trust in God as he should in Christ? John, the 19th chapter, verses 4 through 6. Pilate therefore went forth again and said to them, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him. Then came Jesus forth, wearing a crown of thorns and a purple robe. Pilate said unto them, Behold the man. When the chief priests therefore and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. Pilate said unto them, Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. And he said unto them, why are you, verse 6. Here you got Pilate, knew that Christ was perfect. No, he didn't break any laws at that time. Did he stand up for Christ as he should have? He was a ruler at the time. Why didn't he put his foot down and said, I'm not releasing him to you. I'm setting him free. But he was afraid of the people. And then have enough faith in Jesus and in God that he hand him over so they could crucify him as they did. And John, John the 7th chapter, verse 32, also verses 45 through 48, reads about the temple guards believed Jesus to be the great teacher. But these same individuals that believed he was a great teacher also arrested him in the garden, take him to be tried so he could be crucified. Matthew, the 8th chapter, in verse 26 and verse 31 of the 14th chapter, chapter 16, verse 8, Christ talked about the apostles. In verse 26 of Matthew 8, he said unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye little folk? He arose and rebuked the winds and the seas, and there was a great calm. The apostles, they believed in Christ. Did they really trust him at that point to some degree? Think about it. They were on the ship, and the waves were getting out of hand, and they were afraid of dying. They came to Christ, save us. And the same thing that he says, oh, you need a little faith. Even Christ recognized that their faith wasn't what it's supposed to be. In Matthew, the 14th chapter, verse 31, he says, immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? How strong is our faith in God? Well, I have faith in God. But you have doubt too? How strong is that faith? Peter walked on the water. And as long as he had his face in Christ and seeing him, he could do so. But eventually he turned around and started looking around. And what happened? Started sinking. Christ reached out and pulled him up out of the sea. Yep, we're like that, aren't we? I have faith in God. I have faith in Christ. He is able to do this and that. Don't tell anybody I'm committing this sin over here. Don't let anybody know that you see me doing this and that. I got faith, but I don't want to give this up. Matthew 16, chapter, verse 8, which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye little faith, why reason ye among yourselves? Because ye have brought no bread. As he is feeding those individuals out in the wilderness, the fact that they didn't realize what Christ was capable of doing. Well, we have no food, Jesus. We have to go back to the city and buy some. We don't have very much. We can't feed all these people. Jesus said, haven't you seen what I've been doing all along? Almost like the Israelites as they came through the wilderness. And they've seen all these miracles. Yeah, we believe in God. God's our Savior. We need to worship him. And then a few days later, Moses, he led us out here to die. And it's the same way with the apostles. Their faith at times wavered. And our faith at the same time wavers. And we need to realize that we need to be careful how we believe and put our trust in God as we should. Anyone can lead an apparently moral life, but how true faith? Luke, the 18th chapter, verse 9 through 14, states the fact the Pharisees didn't do sinful things common in their culture. They did good works. Let's read in Luke, the 18th chapter, beginning with verse 9. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not like the other men are, extortioners, unjust, idolaters, even as this publican. I fast twice in a week. I give tithes to all of all that I possess. And the publican, standing far off, would not lift so much as his eyes into heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalts himself shall be abased. He that humble himself shall be exalted. There were two individuals, the Pharisees, that were bragging about all the good work and he was capable of doing. But what kind of faith did he really have? Was he trying to please God as he should? Or was he trying to show off and let other individuals know how good I am? If we truly have faith in God as we should be humble. That's what we are taught. We are imitators of Christ as we should be. And we need to understand that. Also, the rich ruler in Luke, the 18th chapter, verses 18 through 34, please go home as you would this morning and read this. There's a young man that came to Jesus and said, good master, what shall I do to inherit life? Jesus said, why callest me thou good and none is good, save one that is God? Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not kill, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, all these things I kept from my youth up. Jesus turned to him and said, you lack one thing. Sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. When he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Here's a man claiming to have faith. I've done the Ten Commandments. I've been obedient to the old law. To the best of my ability, I've done it all. Okay? Take what you got. Sell it all. Follow me. The rich man turned around and went, I can't do that. Took me all these years to gain all I got. He didn't want to do it. He didn't have enough faith in Christ to follow after him. He wouldn't do what he was asked to do by Jesus. Anyone can get excited over worship and religious works without true faith. In Mark, the 4th chapter, verse 16 and 17. And these are they that likewise which are sown upon stony ground, who when they heard the word immediately received it with gladness. They have no root in themselves, so they endure but for a time. Afterwards, when affliction or persecution arises, for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. Are we that way? Yes, I became a Christian. My sins are forgiven. Then after a few weeks, I got sick this Lord's Day. I missed Wednesday night because something came up. And eventually, they get choked out by the water tanks around about. Born on stony ground. You ever try to plant anything on a stony ground? Don't always work. It don't last long. You can rip those weeds and plants out very easy because they're not grown into the soil as they should. And that's the way we are sometimes. We claim to have faith, but maybe it's not deeply rooted as it should be. Acts the 5th chapter, in verses 1 through 11, talks about Ananias and Sapphira, his wife. They were willing to sell a possession. They kept part back at the price. The wife also being private to it and brought a certain part, laid it at the apostles' feet. Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thy heart to lie with the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? While it remained, was it not thy own? After it sold, was it not in thy own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thy heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. Great fear came upon all of them that heard these things. The young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. Peter answered to her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yeah, for so much. Then Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which had buried thy husband are at the door and shall carry thee out. And she fell down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. The young men came in, found her dead, and carried her forth, buried her by her husband. Great fear came upon the church and upon as many that heard these things. It's not that they didn't give it all to the church at that time. It's the fact that they lied about it that got them in trouble. Yes. I believe in the gospel. Yes, I believe what Peter's been teaching at this time. And they could have, as Peter said, you could have kept part of that money for that property you sold. There'd been no problem. But at the same time, they lied about it. And when he asked her the same thing, her not knowing what happened to her husband, agreed to tell the same lie, and it cost them their soul. Anyone can have great sorrow over sin without true faith. Matthew the 27th chapter, verse 3. Then Jesus, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself, brought about again 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders. What happened to Judas? He didn't believe that Christ was going to be put to death at the time. He figured he'd just go to prison and serve some time there. But when he found out he was going to be put to death, he repented for what he did. He took the 30 pieces of silver and threw it back on the floor of the chief priest and high priest and said, take your money. I don't want it. But if he recognized and had faith in God as he should, claimed to have, when he repented, he knew he could have been forgiven of what he did. But what did he do? He went out and hung himself, committing another type of sin. He had faith. He believed in Jesus that it could do things, but yet he traded Jesus in for 30 pieces of silver, repented of that, and went out and committed suicide. he could ask God for forgiveness for what he did. And I believe God would have been willing to forgive him, because that was part of the plan that was to take place at this time. Anyone can be baptized and active in the local church, but not have true faith. Acts 8 chapter in verse 13 and 20 and 21. Then Simon himself believed also when he was baptized. He continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money, that thou hast neither part nor lot in this manner, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Here's a man that was a sorcerer, seeing the things that was going on, really truly believed the power that these apostles had at this time. He became a Christian. He was baptized. He still wondered about the miracles and signs that they were doing at that point. But he made a mistake. Again, he let the worldly things creep back in into his thinking. And he asked, Peter, how much would you take for you to give me these gifts, that I'm able to do what you're able to do? How much? And Peter turned around and looked at him and says, you're silly. You have neither part or lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. And he told him to repent for what he was doing at this point. And sometimes we as Christians, we take part in worship services, but our faith isn't where it's supposed to be, and we commit sins or have thoughts that we should not have as we partake within our worship service. Again, anyone can actively serve God but have no true saving faith. Matthew, the 7th chapter, verses 21 and 23. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. How many individuals claim to have faith in God out here in the world and claim to be able to do these things? Prophesied about the coming of Christ. Also the fact that they got those who claim that they can heal people, perform miracles. If we talked this morning in our adult Bible class, we talked about those who claim to be able to do speak in tongues. And they may do some good work. And there are congregations out there that are helping those who are in need and things in that order. But they're not doing the will of God that's been given to them. There is no more speaking in tongues. Those things ended, and we got to do it in a certain way if they're still being carried on, and they don't do what God has set up. There are those that do good works, but they don't do it the way God has commanded us to perform those good works. We have to be in accordance to God's will to be found righteous and have the true faith that we should. There are religious people that do not always have true faith. When Satan persuades people to settle for less than true faith, he wins. He can do it even with the elders. In Acts 20th chapter, in verses 28 and 30, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. And we still have that going on today within the church. We got those who will not do what God has asked them to do. That's to feed the congregation as they should. but also they get themselves involved that we know more than anybody else. So you listen to us. We'll guide you. We make sure that you do the things in accordance to God's will. And Apostle Paul here told them, there'll be some among you. You're going to be like wolves. And they're just going to carry you away and have your soul condemned for eternity. True faith trusts God. It doesn't merely believe in God, but true faith is a conviction that God will keep his every word. It and labor trustingly to meet every condition God has set upon his promises. True faith and trust always begins in the heart of the believer. He doesn't work his way into believing. He believes his way into working. In other words, we increase in our faith. We study. We find ourselves approved by God's will. We do the things he has commanded us. Putting our trust in him, this is what God wants. This will get me to heaven. This will get me to be with him forever. But there are those out there that have that so-called true faith and trust God. Say, well, I understand, but there's things that I think would make things better. Do they really trust in God then? I think it's okay to have instrumental music. I believe that women can preach and things on this order. I believe I can accept certain individuals. Maybe somebody has been married 4 or 5 times, and I'm going to accept them as Christians and let them take part in worship as in accordance with my feelings. Really? Is that putting your trust in God as you should? If I trust somebody and they ask me to do something or tell me to do something, don't you do it? You want to take a loan out? Well, let's see. You tell me where you worked at and how much you make, and you go right down to the loan form. And you fill all these things out. And then they maybe ask you a couple questions more about your bank account and all this. You trust them. Right? They could take that information and run with it. Think about it. You just gave him everything you know. But if you put your trust in him, you know that when I apply for that loan, if it goes through, I will get that loan. I'll get that new car or that new house or that new boat or whatever I'm trying to apply for at this time. We work for it. But the thing is, we have to put our trust and faith in God as we should. When he says to sing in our worship service, that's what he means. Sing. I trust God. That's what he said. Sing. I'm going to do what he says. I'm going to be baptized by immersion, buried with him in a watered grave. I'm going to do that because I trust God. I believe what he's telling me is true. That my sins will be forgiven when I am baptized and rose up as a new creature. He unselfish and consciously declares his sin and his need for God to save him. In Psalms 51, verses 9 and 10, hide thy face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Here's David asking him to forgive him for the things he has done. He asks him to, God, give me that clean heart you promised unto me. And let me renew myself in the right spirit in trying to do your will. David made mistakes. At least he's willing to admit to it and plead with God to forgive him. Try to do what's right. In the 17th verse of the same chapter, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. And also in verse 19 of the same chapter, then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then they shall be offered bullocks upon thy altar. David said, forgive me. Let me do the things I need to be doing. Let me commit the righteous sacrifices that are to be applied to you. Let me worship you. Let me trust you as I should. Let me realize you forgive me of what I've done in the past. My heart will be clean. True faith and trust always begins in that heart of that believer. Those who have true faith and trust from their heart cannot discuss their sins objectively. I know I'm not perfect, but you know, everybody sins. 2 Corinthians, the 7th chapter, and verse 10. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. Also in Proverbs, the 28th chapter, verse 13, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. We will be forgiven of what we do. Also in 1 John verses, chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do you really believe that God will do that? Do you trust him enough to repent of your sins and he'll give you the faith and the help you need to overcome those temptations we face in our everyday life? Do we trust him? Sometimes I wonder. And Christ did too. Back in Luke 18, where he's talking, he says, will I find faith upon this earth when I come back? Will there be those who are obedient to God's will as they should be? Also in Psalms 51st chapter, verses 3 and 4. For I acknowledge my transgression. My sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judge. How did Peter act in Luke 5 and verse 8, chapter 5 and verse 8? Chapter 5, yeah, verse 8. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. How we feel if we had to face Christ and God at this time? Would you be bowing on your knees, asking him to forgive you? Don't come too close, Lord. I'm a sinner. I'm not worthy of you being here before me at this point. Also, in the 10th verse, chapter of Psalms 51, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. You willing to do such? We must ask God to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. I can't overcome temptations unless I put my faith and trust in him as I should. Understanding that God will give me a way out of the situation if I put my trust and faith in him as I ought. I can give up some of my sins and ask for forgiveness, and he will help me overcome those temptations and those faults that we are involved in. It seems to be our nature that we want to control our own lives, making it difficult to surrender control to anyone, even God. Think about it. Who are you willing to put your trust and faith in? Who are you willing to let control your life? True faith and trust in God depends upon Jesus alone for salvation, Revelation 2:10. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried. You shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death. I will give thee a crown of life. 2 John, verse 9. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. He is willing to be here with us. He is here to help us, guide us, to do what's right at all times. But I got to put my trust in him. I got to be obedient to his word. I got to be faithful to him. And he will guide us as we should. Colossians, the 3rd chapter, verses 9 through 10. Lie not one to another, seeing that you put the old man off with his deeds. Yet put on a new man, which is renewed in knowledge in the image of him that created him. We need to put away the things that we are involved in. We need to put God first. And that's the problem. Sometimes we don't. And sometimes we just don't trust God to say, well, really? I need to be here every service just to study your word? Do I have to do these things all the time? Do I need to pray to God and ask for forgiveness every night or every day as I commit them? I believe in you, Lord, but that's too much. There's one verse within the scriptures talks about the devils, the demons. They believe in Christ. But you don't see them becoming Christians, giving up the work of the devil and changing. They believe in Christ. They understand what he is and who he is and what he's capable of doing. And sometimes we're like them. Yeah, I believe. But the question is, I'm asking you today, do your faith really put trust in God as it should? Or are you just willing to say, I believe in Jesus. I believe in God. But we don't do anything to show our faith in him. And that's what we're asking you to do this morning. If you have not obeyed the will of God, we need to understand that you must hear his word in accordance with Romans 10:17. You must be able to repent of your sins, be willing to change your life and live for God, not for ourselves. Put our trust in him that we will receive heaven as our home if we do his will completely. Confess by mouth confession that he confess us before his Father. Be baptized and have sins washed away. Buried with him in a watery grave, and of course in Romans 6 chapter, verses 3 and 4. Rose up as a new creature, pure, just like Christ. Live a faithful life unto death. You shall receive the heaven as your home. Sometimes we do the first part, but sometimes we don't always believe that Revelation 2:10. And we just lose our faith in God at times. We need to make it right. We need to come up and ask the brother to pray for us and help us overcome our weaknesses. We're all in this together. We all need encouragement at times to do the truth and his word. We need to be there for one another as we become obedient to God's word. Also the fact that there may be one here this morning that has done all those things, but as I say, have fallen and need to make it right. Please, come up. We'll go to God in prayer and ask God to forgive you. Plus, that we will help you in your time of need and in your time of sins. We are here to encourage one another. We all want to make it to heaven. But we won't make it alone. We make it with God and with our brother. Please do something about it before it's eternally too late, as we stand and sing the song, Invitation.